Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's get started. We started last week working on the concept of making the Emunah real, figuring out the type of microscope that we need in order to take the three type of closenesses, that's a word, that we discussed, the closeness in space, the closeness in relationship as a father-son, and the closeness as friends, and how to make that real in terms of our closeness with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What we started discussing was the concept of first dealing with things simply. We're going to simplify. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad. It's one. And as a result of that, the simpler that we get, the closer to truth, the closer to the emes that we will come. And therefore that will be a main goal, is trying to keep it close. And then the fact that there needs to be an understanding in that simplicity of Hashem Echad. We were just going over that concept that because Hashem is Echad, therefore we have the idea of the simpler the things get, the closer to the emes that it is. And that a person has to know, he has to use his mind to understand the complexity of the world, the complexity of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then once he's used his mind and achieved that complexity, then he has to take it and make it simple. Then it's just something that I live with. Not because in my mind the whole concept is simple, or that I understand it on a simple level, but then once it's there, once I'm a maimon and I believe, then I live with it on a level of simplicity that it's just always there in front of me. It was on that point that we got into our discussion last week, just to go over that brief, that concept of the fact that we live our lives in ways different than our belief is because we haven't yet made that transition. It's something that we know, we think about, we believe, but it's not something that we live. And therefore, we sometimes often have that gap between our behavior and the things that we, at least according to ourselves, believe in. And what we started with then yesterday was the concept last week of making that real. And the way that we start with that is the simple idea of thinking there is a creator. Nothing more complex than that. Simply taking time out during our day. Someone told me they had it on a timer, on a watch. Once an hour, their watch would beep.
No, that wasn't me, but
yeah.
I did that too.
Excellent. Did it work?
No. Yes and no. I mean, because yeah. I think I've desensitized myself to the beep, even though it's the first time I set it up. But when it did happen, or if I noticed that I missed it, so what happened is even I started looking at the hour. So.
Right.
Yeah, more than often than I would have if you didn't give us the assignment.
Excellent. So, and the goal being simply where it becomes part of the day. Yeah. Oh, there's a creator. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. It exists, and that creates that simplicity where it becomes a part of our consciousness. Okay. Let's continue with that thought. And number four, on the sheet in front of you. Al ha'adam lahavin ulahafnu zos. It's on a person to understand this. Shabosis ha'pashut ha'nidrash mikol Yehudi. That which is required is from every single Jew, Benishu Benisha, Ein Bazeh Chilukov. There's no difference. This is not a man's mitzvah. This is not a woman's mitzvah. This is a Jewish mitzvah. Shitzura Sachayim, that the approach, the appearance, the form of life, Tiyabitzura Shakalash Baruch Hu Nimsa B'machshavas Mochel V'libo Shel Ha'adam. It's a life that's led, a life that's lived with Hashem in a person's thought, in their mind, and in their heart. I live with Hashem. I eat with Him. When I go to sleep with Him. A person, all their thoughts are just, He's with me. He exists, and He's part of my life. Now, you'll say, it's not me. Don't worry about it. In order to achieve this, you don't have to be a giant in Torah. You don't have to be particularly designated or designed for that. All you need is a little bit of emes in your heart and a desire to seek out truth. To seek out Hashem, who is the purpose of all of life. And what the author here is just restating over and over again is something which we say and know. And if a person would ask, why was man created? The response of every Orthodox Jew to that question, why was man created, would have something to do with God, and something to do with a relationship with God, and something to do with bringing God's glory into the world. So that's just what everybody would answer. And the purpose is to remember that that's actually there, so that during our day we're aware of that as well. To find, to seek Hashem in our lives, in our daily existence. That's the purpose, and it becomes known to man. Therefore, Amachshava Harishona Shuhu Omer, the first thought is Lizkor B'chol Eisu V'chol Shal Sheyesh Borei Olam. He's breaking it down into steps. If the purpose is to have that closeness, the first step is simply to have the thought consistently, constantly, that there is a Borei Olam. And that's a thought that we, as we spoke about last week, you can't skip over that step. You can't skip over the step of, before I develop a relationship, I have to know that he's there. We asked, what microscope do we use to see him when he's that close? The microscope is consciousness. The microscope is, I am aware that he is there. It is part of my existence. It's part of my thought process. When I go to sleep, when I eat, when I'm talking, I'm simply aware that someone else exists who is part of this conversation, who is recording this conversation. This is like classic Rosh Hashanah thoughts in terms of making oneself aware of that thought. You know, it's as if a person would know at work, just a mashal, a mahadavar doma, some places at work, emails are screened. Every single email you receive and you send is recorded in some major database that the company is checking every once in a while. Now, they're not going to read every email, but you know every single email that comes in and every single email that goes out is recorded by a third party that never leaves your consciousness. You're always aware of that because it's just one email that could cost you your job. So it sits on you. New, what about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Every single email is recorded, every single conversation is recorded, every single action, every single thought. So the first step is simply awareness of that. He's there. Yeah, he's there when you eat, he's there when you're schmoozing, he's there when you're talking, but he's just a player that's part of the equation. And the first step of that closeness is that consciousness.
Can I...
Yeah.
Can I call you on that or...
Go ahead.
Question? Okay, so I was just... In jotting down the notes, I was looking at that because I was having difficulty in terms of how that answers the question, and I think it might need a qualification. I want you to either agree or disagree with me.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not so much the consciousness of God, but it's having... Or let me go back. When we talked about needing the microscope, we said we needed a microscope in order to help us see, like the seeing is believing concept. So still to come to terms with this, that to come to terms that there is a creator, mm-hmm. we still have yet to see him. And what at least the translation would suggest is they talked about sincerity in seeking him. And I think that's a more logical progression, because to say, even when I was saying there's a creator, to some degree then the exercise, it was still kind of like empty. But the fact is, so then you could say, well, then you're not, you know, if they're empty, one would say, well, then, you know, you will not accomplish it because that's not going to help you see God. But mm-hmm. if you say that, you know, say there is a creator, and just have in your heart that you're trying to find the creator, I want to look for God, then that in and of itself, that is maybe the beginning of the microscope.
You're 100% correct. And what you're going through now is, let me start. That was the first couple of weeks in which we were discussing the purpose of creation. Was the goal was to get to that point in which you say, "Oh, if I really buy that, if I really believe that that's the purpose, well then, I want to find him." So, whereas in a little chabura like this, we're going to progress through things sometimes quicker than others. What you're doing right now is, now as we're getting to week 4 or 5 in the seeking, and I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm realizing that I may have listened to that when I heard that in week 2 or week 3,
right,
but I'm realizing like, I'm not there. That's an important step that needs to be going back, and you're 100% correct. And he spoke about that. And could be that I spent only like one little paragraph on it, and it was a total of 5-10 minutes, and so you heard it and went on, and now it's like, well, wait, and
right.
that's very possible. We touched on it, but what you're addressing now is 100% correct, that first step is, I accept that's the purpose, I went through that, I believe that, that's right, and now therefore, I then need to work on that, that's the purpose, then I need it. How do I get it? This is that first step. But I agree with you 100%, and very often in these any avoda like this, there are various steps along the way, and it's only sometimes at a later step that you realize that I gave lip service to the previous step, but in order for me to do this, I actually needed to have fulfilled that, and I'm not there yet. And then that's like a total normal way of addressing in any task in which, in any skill almost, and you would take as a mashal even just in basketball, you'd say, okay, in order to be able to do X, Y, and Z, so you need to be able to dribble in a certain manner, with your right hand and with your left hand, like this and like that, and then we'll work on this. And we're like, yeah, I could do that, I could do that. And they could even do a little bit in practice. And then you go into the next step, which is built upon that, and then you realize where I really haven't gotten to the point that I'm falling on my face as I go to the next step, even though I thought I could do it and I said I could do it and I even did it once or twice, but like in a game situation, I'm not fluent in that move, so then I'm falling apart over here and you go, oh, go back. Or you almost feel like, oh, now I understand why I really need it. Yeah, I could do it, but I didn't really get into it so much. I didn't really work on it enough to get there. So that's totally normal, where it's from a later step that you realize how much you needed a previous step, or how little, or that you didn't have it as much as you thought you did. But I'm agreeing with you 100% that that's an earlier step.
So am I also to be reassured that...
You should go home now, by the way, because I'm not going back there tonight.
Right, right. No, but even though I need reassurance that there is a creator, the more I say that, the more that will then open my eyes to perhaps seeing him. It's like I'm calling out, I'm looking for him. And through that exercise,
it's in the same way that, I don't remember if somebody mentioned this in this chabura, or somebody mentioned this in a group I was in recently, that when a couple is expecting, they see pregnant women everywhere.
Right.
And when you're looking to buy a car and you're debating between three different cars, like all of a sudden those cars are everywhere. Because there's a term for it, the psychologists have coined. You know, when you're conscious of something, looking for something, you see it everywhere.
Well, top of mind awareness or whatever.
So somewhere, I was in this group. So
I think earlier,
somebody said this.
It might even been in your, like, the daily cheer or whatever.
Yeah. So,
but that's the same thing.
In that same sense, in other words, I'm saying, I believe that my purpose is to connect, and the more I will look for him, the more I will actually find him. In the same way as I can live my life and be oblivious to all of that, I don't see any of those cars around because I'm not looking for those cars. When I'm looking for instances in my life of hashkacha, I'm looking for divine intervention, I'm looking for chesed, when I'm looking for them, you'll see that they're there, but we have to open our eyes to that. And that's certainly a part in the sense in where a person becomes more conscious of that, that you will, in fact, then actually become more aware of those things. And it is that, a little bit of that catch-22. But the reality is the process, the steps are, as he's described, first you come to the recognition that the purpose of man's existence is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he has the desire to want to do that. So when you have the desire to then want to do that, then you can go through these steps. But you have to have that desire to actually carry through these things. And the reason why we all struggle, and there's a certain fault in the way that we're doing this whole thing, and that is, we're setting this up, we're going to get together once a week, and we're just going to keep moving. What if we didn't really work on what we discussed in week two? What if we're not completely there? All right, listen, but that's not really the way that the chabura should go. A real chabura should be done.
We're holding people accountable.
Yeah, and there's like, when we have all mastered step one, we go to step two. That's nice, we could do that, but I didn't set it up this way. We're going to learn through the Sefer, and hopefully we'll gain a lot from it, and we'll take it where we take it. Is that the ideal way? No. But that's what we did.
I mean, though, there can be something set up afterwards, though. I mean,
100%.
We're doing this for the Yom Tovim, but...
100%. This is right. And the goal was, for 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about bringing the Baruch Hashem into our lives, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur should be different because of it. Will we fulfill... Let's just say it straight, because we're not
even
getting together,
different.
Right? 10 minutes every day. We're not talking about how'd you do today. If I would have set it up that way, where there'd be this, you know, conference call and email, everybody had a notebook, and they had to write at the end of every day how they did, and we'd get together and we'd share, and we'd have a real chabur like that. You know, maybe we could do that after. This is an overview, and then we'll get together and we'll really work on it. But the reality is, we haven't all mastered steps one and two. That I really believe this is the purpose of my life. We all agreed around the table, but we didn't agree that we walk around like perplexed, saying, I can't believe I'm still living my life this way and I'm not seeking truth of what the purpose is. Like, except for Monday nights, we don't really think about it all that much. And even on Mondays, it's only for 45 minutes. So you're right. And then what's coming out now is that we haven't, the desire, and that's what he spoke about, would drive it. Right? The desire to become great at anything, the desire to become a great ball player, is what drives the greats to become great, is because they're willing to put in the hours and hours of work that it takes, because it really started with a desire. Where did the desire come from? You know, that's the question you ask. Like, you know, Michael Jordan's desire to be the greatest basketball, he wanted it. He wasn't the most naturally gifted player ever, but he wanted it more than anybody. Look what he became. You could say that about almost any athlete. Where did that desire come from? You know, that's deep into the essence of who a person is. So, Wahabdu, when we would talk about in the realm of Ruchnius, the desire of I'm going to develop that relationship would drive that fact that I don't need a watch every hour beeping to remind me, because I'm desiring and looking for it. But we need to work on that desire. That's a desire that actually requires consciousness of, you know, reading that first couple paragraphs over and over again of this is the purpose, this is why I'm here, and I'm going to make that a part of my my consciousness and a part of my world.
Is that like this one essay towards the end where you say, open my heart to your commandments and then my soul?
We pray for that to be able to feel that. But at the end of the day, I'm agreeing with your comment that really has to come first, and we're moving on anyway as if it's all there, and therefore the actions that we're doing of that trying to remember is the first step for a person who has already gotten to that point.
I think even when he was here, the fellow who was with him had suggested that the best way to go through the book is to at least do one read through anyways.
You have to get a sense for what's coming. 100%.
Don't let that stifle the mm-hmm. forward with the other concepts.
And I think even in that basketball muscle, a player who gets the more difficult skill and realizes what he needs the earlier skill will be much more driven to get that skill down when he sees what's coming. It's not just a tedious drill. Like, what's the point of this? I want that. That was cool. Oh, but I'm not there because I can't use my left hand yet. I need to now use my left hand. When I can use my left hand, I'll be able to do that move. Right. So then when you see, like, whoa, that's cool, then all the little parts that go into it are much less just tedious skills. It's actually, I see what's out there. So we'll keep moving. And the point is well taken. Okay, number 5, flipping the page. Says the Gra, Vilna Gaon, a very frightening statement. Shehatzar hagodol b'yoser sheyesh lefesh. What is the greatest pain, the greatest discomfort that the soul will suffer at the end of 120 years? Hu kaasher ha'odam niftar lebeis olamo. The soul will expire, the body will expire, the soul will return to Shemayim. Va'ato, and now, just as a soul, hu roya, he sees, Mahu yochol lahasig ba'odo b'chiyuso v'olam hazeh. He will see what was possible to have achieved during his lifetime in this world. Vehu lo asazos, and he didn't do it, didn't take advantage of it. Alzos hanefesh mitzta'eres b'yoser. That's the pain, the suffering of the soul, is when there's clarity. When the soul now sees, I can't believe the opportunity that I had, and I squandered it.
Now, let's talk about spiritual or Gashmi's opportunities.
Spiritual opportunities. Meaning, in other words, that what was the soul sent down here to accomplish?
Tikkun
Midos. All of the Tikkun Midos, Mitzvahs, Torah, relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you name it. Mm-hmm. And then you look back and you see, that was the opportunity that I had, and I blew it. That there are, I mean, there are many.
So it's not I could have made a deal on one day that I overslept or whatever an excuse. Could have made money, a great deal one day. You're gonna regret that later on in life. Like, you're gonna say, you could have been a multimillionaire, but since you missed that appointment.
No. The soul doesn't care about
but
that.
But Wahab deals.
That's
the same,
how right.
Same,
that's how we use that example,
in
right?
In our long
right.
life, that we feel that same way. That's multiplied like 100 times more.
Correct.
The way our soul.
That's a much
earlier. But the Gaon's not saying that. He's talking about the soul's potential, not
right. In other words, the soul will see you had Shabbos, you had Kashrus, you could have learned, you spent all this time, you could have accomplished all of these things.
That would have made us feel so good.
And you didn't. That mashal there, you know, through every generation, someone will come up with another form of creating that scenario to just try and express. The one that I remember hearing, which was, you know, has stuck with me the longest for years now, and I found to be the greatest, is, I can't remember if it's the Chafetz Chaim's or not, but the Chafetz Chaim basically created a mashal, I think it was him, I don't want to misquote him, if it was somebody else, of a fellow who had, trouble making a parnasa. And he was going to go. He was there was word that there was an island far away that existed, that the streets were lined with diamonds. And it was an arduous trip, but he said to his family, it's going to take me 6 months to get there and a couple months to be there, and I'll come back. But this is our salvation. Nothing else to do. I can't make a living any other way. So he goes, he travels 6 months, he gets there, and sure enough, it's true. Gets off the boat, and literally, the roads are paved with diamonds. There's gold, there's silver, there's jewels, it's just everywhere. He gets off the boat, and he takes out the handful, he starts putting them in his pocket, in his bag. He's walking around, and he goes into the nearest store, and he says, you know, I need to set up shop. He goes into an inn, I need to eat. So they say, okay, you know, how do you want to pay for this? All right, takes out all his diamonds. You mean, I'm going to pay him a wealthy man. He says, buddy, that's not worth anything over here. That's on the streets. Here, it's chicken schmaltz. Fat chickens, that's the currency. What, do you have any chicken schmaltz? I don't come with any of that. They say, well, you can get to work. They put him to work, and they pay him a few scraps of fat, and he uses the fat to, you know, buy himself a little bit of food and stay in a cheap motel. And as the days go on, he begins to become an entrepreneur in order to get more and more chicken fat, in order to be able to stay in nicer hotels.
The Bill Gates of chicken fat, Warren Buffett of chicken fat.
And he becomes extremely wealthy, and he has storehouses of chicken fat. And the time comes for him to go back home, and he, with all of his money, buys a fancy boat, and he packages up all of his chicken fat, and he sails home with boatloads filled with chicken fat. And he gets off the boat, and he says to his wife and kids, I've been gone for 2 years, but I made it. I became a wealthy man. And he reeks. Ship is just a mess. Saying, what happened to you? And out of his pocket, he remembered that first day he had picked up a few coins, a few diamonds that he found in the bottom of his sack from that first day. Chaim says, you know, we get lost. We come here and we get all of that, and we get confused because the currency down here is not Torah mitzvahs. Currency is not in chesed. The currency is how much money do you have? And we throw away tefillin, we throw away our mitzvah, we throw away the learning, we throw away Shabbos and kashrus the way that it should be done, and we run after what we need. And we get up to Shemayim, we say, look, I made it. And they say, you fool, this is what you brought? This is worthless here. You got lost, you got confused along the way. And we have a few things that we stuck in our pockets along the way. We'll survive on. But you had an opportunity, the Chafetz Chaim says, this is the opportunity, you wasted. There's no tzar greater for the neshama. When you think about that mashal, which I probably didn't do justice, but when you think about such a person who would come to that realization, that he had gotten all confused as to what his main goal was, just because he needed to survive for the few months. You know, there's no, like, I was there. I was there, I had it. So says the Grod, that's going to be the greatest tzar. When the neshama comes to that crystal clear realization of what it could have accomplished, what it could have accomplished with coming on time to davening, with a few extra minutes of the Seder, with being able to learn, and we blow it on such narishkeit. When the soul looks back over that, there's that in itself is the, he doesn't, I'm not sure if he says that, that's the Gehenna that the soul suffers of, like what could have been and the opportunities wasted.
But just so, not to be, you know, leave on an abysmal note, but the reality is, I'm guessing if we practice connecting with God, we're going to have this awareness so that even though we're on the island with the chicken small, so to speak, we're still at the same time where, I mean, we're collecting the diamonds. That's
correct. Right. In other words,
focus, right?
And that's what he was saying. Remember, he was saying that you don't have to, like, you don't have to have this picture. It says the Yitzhar tells you, in order to accomplish this, you have to be this Yerushalmi, like, you have no. You could be working for chicken schmaltz, and while you're doing that, you know, you're plucking everything, putting them away, you're aware of what the goal is. And you're connecting, but then you can, or you can totally lose sight of that. And that's 100%. That's, you know, the soul that's aware of that, that's what his goal is a different, it will achieve its place in Shemayim in a very different place, as he says. You know, the Imha Adam Yagia Ligan Eden Imha Yediya Hazu, Obaliya Yediya Hazu, the soul that gets the Gan Eden with the knowledge that that was his purpose and what he could have accomplished, versus the soul that gets there without even recognizing what he could have done, who have Del Shemayim V'aretz. The difference between heaven and earth, right? Play on words. Hamakom shelo b'Gan Eden, yeshoina l'a totally different place in Gan Eden. Adam sheyodeas hayadiyah hazo, somebody who knows this, v'chayimo b'chol esu v'chol shon, lives with it, that this is my purpose, this is why I'm here. So mekomo b'Gan Eden, elyon yoser, his place in Gan Eden is elevated, and all, you know, unbelievably elevated. the Bnei Shu Karav LaKadosh Baruch Hu Yos, because he's closer. Kol Inyonu HaPnimi Shel Gan Eden Hu Liyos Karav LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole purpose of Gan Eden, is to be close, and this person lived his life. And that's exactly what you were just saying. The more that a person thinks about Hashem and lives with Him in the inner recesses of his heart, so his place in Gan Eden will be exactly in line with that. These are simple concepts. Someone who recognizes the purpose of life knows these things. That mashal that I just said, for whether it's from the Chofetz Chaim or anybody else, you've heard, I'm sure, things like that along the way. We know it. The Yetzirah allows us to live superficially. The Chitzoni is getting caught up on externals. That we live without knowing. We know it, and we don't live with it. We're aware of the fact that with the other mussar that they like to say, you know, the king who gives his servants a 24-hour reprieve into his storehouses. These are 24 hours. You can take whatever you want. Here are a bunch of sacks. Do whatever you want. However long you want, it's fine. You want to sleep a little bit? It's fine. You want to rest? It's fine. Do whatever you want. You have 24 hours. So we know that. We know that life is short. We know that we have a limited amount of time, and that every moment that we have can be used for something, and we still take really long rests amongst that time, because we're convinced 24 hours is a long time. I'll have more time to do it. I'll get to it. Right now, you need to take care of something else. Yitzhar allows us to think that way. Kechol shayodiya hazu sheish bor le'olam. The more that this thought process becomes part of a person's soul, his heart will become more and more filled with shleimus, and so too will his closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu increase because of that. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Nun Vav. Now, he quotes, which I didn't photocopy, I just want to quote that one line. He quotes from the Chazon Ish. He wrote a letter, and the Chazon Ish, his language, which I just want to quote, was, he writes at the end of his letter, Ha'ikar lizkor lefnei mi'ata amel, to remember before whom you are toiling. To remember, he's building himself off of this concept in which you say, I know who I'm toiling. I know what I'm doing, right? Who am I putting tefillin on for in the morning? For myself? I know this is Ribbono Shel Olam. Chazon Ish was the way he said, the ikar is to remember before whom you're toiling. Who are you putting on your tefillin in the morning? Before whom are you putting on your tefillin? Before whom are you eating kosher? When you make that decision, the ikar, says the Chazon Ish, is just to remember that, to be aware of that. And he then goes on to paragraph 6. Ha'posuk oimer ta'amu ur'u ki toiv Hashem. Taste. Ta'amu ur'u. Taste and see, literally, ki toiv Hashem. Al ha'adam lit'om vilirot es ha'tov shebach kadosh baruch hu. David Melech is telling us in Tillim, a person has to literally see and literally taste the goodness of Hashem. Ich yochel adam litoim. What do you mean to taste that? How do you taste that? Why does he use that word, David Melech? Ta'amu uru. V'chi ze oichel shenichnas legaron. Is this something you put in your throat, in your mouth? Says the author, Bor Hadar Shekashir Hayada Hu Yeda Shal Secha, when a piece of knowledge is just in my head, you can't taste that. If I try to convince you to taste, this is always a great exercise. You taste a dish, someone's house, and it's really good. And you say to your friend, you should try this, it's awesome. And they say, I don't want to try it. And they say, no, taste it. I don't want to taste it. How can I describe to them what it tastes like? How do you describe what something tastes like to somebody who's never had that taste before? If they've tasted it, you could say, it tastes like, you know, pecan pie. But if they've never had pecan pie, what does pecan pie taste like? What words, how do you describe that? Someone has never tasted chocolate. Can you describe to them what chocolate tastes like? There are no words, there's no experience to describe what something tastes like to someone who hasn't ever tasted it before. You have to experience it in order to get it. Once you've experienced it, I can say, this tastes like that. But if you have never tasted the like that, I could say to you, I could just try to force it into you to try, but if you're not willing to try it, I can't get you to do it. And I can't convince you that it's worth it. Or I can't convince you what it actually tastes like. So how do we get the knowledge of Hashem? It has to go from our heads to a place in our hearts. Kasher hayedahu yedah shalev, when it becomes a piece of knowledge that's in our heart, azai halev choshes adbar, then the heart feels it, umargish osam. Then the sweetness is there, because it's not something that's in my head, it becomes into my heart. Then you can see it. You have to see the emuna. The seeing of it is because of the tasting it. There's seeing emuna before you taste it, and then there's seeing emuna after you taste it. Is a totally different type of emunah. There's an emunah of I know, and then there's an emunah of an I've experienced. Okay, 7. How do we then do this? So tamur, so how do you take the knowledge from my head and get it into my heart? V'chiyech toyim emzoisim mazleg u'machnisim lepeh, with a fork? No, tzorch litom. Ulai hatsura hi bekelim, so different type of utensils that allow me to taste it. Hatsi'ima yitzi'ima shel nefesh, ti'ima shel halev. It's a tasting of the soul, a tasting of the heart, a tasting of the soul. Kechol sheha adam choyshev al kach yoser sheyesh bor la'olam. The more that a person thinks that there is a creator, hu yoser korov litoim es hatamu ur'u. The more he thinks, the more he comes to taste. The more that he begins to think, to take pleasure on Hashem. Gam kan ba'odo b'olam hazeh. Ulam kechol she'adam rak yodeya sadar. The more the person just knows it and is not consistent in thinking about it, he remains only in the knowledge, in the realm of cerebral knowledge, and doesn't move it into his heart.
So he's saying that the knowing is the psychologically experience on a psychological level, there is a God. The thinking is actually the exercise of doing it every day.
I still need to use my head. How do I get from my head into my heart? By using my head consciously, so that it's not just a piece of knowledge that I have, but I make it conscious. And when I make it conscious, and I make it conscious over and over the course of the day, then it actually becomes part of my consciousness into my heart. And then I'll begin to taste it. Then I'll begin to experience it. Then I begin to live it. And it's using your mind to take it only from the mind to make it into, it's like really taste. I know the mind is one thing, as we've discussed many, many times. We have lots of pieces of information floating around our head, but we need to make it into something that's part of our consciousness, not just a piece of information that we have that we could spit back. If somebody asks me a question, I can give an answer. We need to make it into something that we actually live, and we make that real. Zehu ha'yisod samach emol. Zehu, last paragraph of tonight. Zehu ha'yisod v'hashara shel kol avoda so'adam. Now, you'll note that we seem to be saying the same thing over and over again, and that's for a reason. Because that's what it takes to integrate it, to live it, to relive it, to go over it, to understand the concept that it's not just something that we could say in 5 minutes and move on, because it has to actually become part of our existence. And this is the yisod v'hashara shel kol avoda so'adam, the entire service of man. It rests on this foundation, liyaseid benasho penima, to make it part of, to create a foundation within the inner recesses of our soul. Shanefesh tochush bechol eis uvechol shoam mamish yesh bori laolam. That the soul senses every moment that there is a creator. I want to point out that a tool for this, if there's that one thing that you do that you in your mind think you shouldn't be doing, whatever it may be. Let's say you were talking about listening to music last week, whatever it was, as an example. Mm-hmm. Let's take that example. Let's say it's spending time on ESPN.com. Whatever it may be. Man, I really shouldn't be doing this. Instead of your watch beeping, like, that should be the time when you say, there's a Ribono Shel Olam. Like, I'm aware, like, every time I turn on the radio, I'm going to say to myself, I know there's a Ribono Shel Olam, I'm working on this, but I know that you're there. I know. It's part of my consciousness. I'm not going to pretend like it's not. I know. I know. And it because the goal is to create a stream of consciousness that we're living with him. We're living with him when we are on ESPN.com. We're living when we're listening to the radio stations. But that's part of our consciousness, and that's something that we do, and don't do it with that kind of like as if it like it doesn't matter. Like, okay, I know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but I know that you're there. And that actually is an important step in simply creating that stream of consciousness that a Jew lives always with the knowledge that there's a Rebbe Shalom. I'm not doing this to rebel. I'm not doing this because I don't believe he's there. I'm because I like listening to music. Because the first step is the step of consciousness. You know, there are further steps. But this is just the first step. Lorak, yeah, the sikhli grade.
That concept is actually very liberating because there's that natural part of the psyche that says that you don't even want to accept that there is a God when you're engaged in something like that because your brain tells you, well, that therefore means
right.
You got to do X, Y, and Z. But he's telling you, don't worry about it. Continue doing what you're doing, but just become aware.
I don't want to put that on his side. I'm adding that as a okay. Time, two things. He's saying the yisod of the avod of an adam is to be consciously aware of him always. And I'm saying as a tool. Like, I know, I'm making you part of my stream of consciousness, even when I'm doing things that I know that I shouldn't be doing, but it's because this is where I am, I'm a work in progress, and I know that you exist.
But at least by doing that, we are still reinforcing constantly.
Constantly. And what it's doing is it's creating, I'm living with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm living with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know if this is right or wrong. I find myself often saying, I don't know, again, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I know ways for it to feel that it's healthy because it's better than the alternative. When I'm doing something that I know that if there were somebody there with me, I wouldn't do, I say to myself, like, you know, this is, Ribbono Shel Olam, like, this is where I am. I'm embarrassed in front of man, and I'm not embarrassed in front of you. But I'm not, I consciously use it and I say, like, I can't believe it. Like, you know, if somebody were here, I wouldn't do this, but I know that you're there, and I'm doing it anyway. And it's like, that's the tefillah that the Gemara Bracha says, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai on his deathbed, when this will close from my, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai on his deathbed, students ask us, Rebbe, give us one last thing. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you should all be Zaycha, and you should have the Mora Shemayim Kemora Basar Vedam. You should fear heaven the way that you fear mankind. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's tefillah to his Talmidim. And his Talmidim, I guarantee, were not watching ESPN.com. He was a Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And his prayer to them was, you should fear God the way you fear man. And they said, that's it? And he said, yeah, that's it. How if you should get to such a point where you see the Rebbe Shalom in front of you so much, not just in knowledge, but really. So I feel it's okay for me to say that because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that's where we are, and he wrote something we should grow from there. How do we grow from there? By making it conscious. So instead of ignoring him, I'm saying, I know you're there right now. You're there in my head. You're not here in my heart. So because you're not here in my heart yet, and somebody else who'd be here physically would be, I wouldn't do this. But I'm trying to get you from my head to my heart. That's part of my consciousness. I'm aware of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's tefillah, and I'm hoping to get there. And Emirat Hashem, that's the goal, is to, you know, to work on the stream of consciousness. But we are works in progress. He wrote many times, so he said last week, you don't jump from the place where we are to the final step in one step. Right? This is almost like we're doing an overview. We're just learning all the steps, then we'll start a chabur and work on it. But that's all part of the program, which is basically speaking out this last paragraph that we were going to read inside, we just spoke it out outside, just to constantly be aware, like, that's the yisod, to make it real, to feel it, to have it aware in our consciousness when we're doing everything that we're doing, that there's somebody with us as we're going along, that he exists, sees, watches, and is part of our existence. The next step is going to be creating the specific relationship of creator to created. Right now it's just, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Next step is then taking it further. What's my relationship to that creator? And that really we'll be working on, you know, ESPN.com later. But the first step is just you're there. And that's a chaburo. That takes a while to get there. But that's just the first step. Wish you a ksiva chsima teva, a good gavench year and a Rosh Hashanah that's filled with those thoughts of consciousness, at least during the times of davening. At least then, it should be the whole day of just the Ribbono Shel Olam, especially on such a day in which his presence is the most intense, that he's there. Good answer.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.